soul. For he has washed and made me whole. God's love for me and you is just like pure gold. Without a doubt, God is real. Thank you. Thank you. Because he is real. Because he's sovereign. And because his ear is open to the cry of his people, we're going to take time out and offer prayer. We want to pray for our senior assistant pastor, Elder Talbert, who's in Loma Linda University Hospital. We want to pray for Brother John Pegg, who's at home. Amen. We want to pray for Mother Flora McNeil, who's at home. We want to pray for Bishop Ussery, who's at home. We want to pray for one another, who, although we're here, we're dealing with certain maladies and infirmities from head to toe and all things below. Amen. From the midsection to every section, but God is in control. The Bible declares that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. We know we may be aware of some of the ailments and that or conditions that are attacking these bodies. And oftentimes I say these bodies preach to us. They preach to us that this is not our home. Amen. But though this outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed day by day by the Spirit of God. So I just feel that it is in order and is appropriate for us to take time to pray. Amen? So bow your heads and pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for giving us this name to call on. This name that is above every name. Father, you know the condition of the people, our brothers and sisters, your children that we have named, Lord God, in this prayer request. We pray, Lord, that you would send your word and heal. We pray, Lord God, that you would send healing to Pastor Talbert and Loma Linda. In the name of Jesus, send healing and total recovery. Be the Jehovah Rapha that he needs you to be. We pray, Lord God, that you would send healing to Brother John Pegg in the name of Jesus. Healing and recovery and total atonement and restoration. We lift up, Lord God, Bishop Ussery. We pray that you would bless and heal her in the name of Jesus. We pray and lift up Mother McNeil, Lord God, that you would continue to bless and heal and strengthen her. We pray for those that are in our midst, Lord God, that have doctor's appointments and follow-up appointments and treatments, Lord God, that we must endure and be involved in through this week, Lord God. We pray, Lord, for vision, Lord God. We pray that cancer be arrested and healed in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that high blood pressure would level off. We pray that cholesterol would be reduced. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to work with you in the healing process, not to abuse our bodies, Lord God, with food, Lord God, that we know we don't have no business with. Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord God, help us to change our attitude about healthy living. Lord, we want to be temples that are fit to be used for your glory. As long as you intend to use us, we want you to get the maximum effort out of us. Bless us with the new mindset. Help us to have a new growth experience as it relates to our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we don't belong to ourselves. Bless us, Lord God. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to continue to talk about the overcomer. And just hang with me for a bit, and we will get there by God's grace. Everyone has an opportunity to be an overcomer. Everyone has an opportunity to be an overcomer. But there's certain choices when we are faced and presented with facts and decisions. There's certain choices that we make that will determine if, in fact, we walk as an overcomer, we live as an overcomer, or we become an overcomer. Walk with me briefly to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke, the 19th chapter. And verse number 12. Luke, the 19th chapter, verse number 12. Little background as we get into this chapter. Earlier in the chapter, Zacchaeus was encountered. He encountered Jesus. And because of the things that Jesus represents, because of the work that Jesus was doing, Zacchaeus repented. He repented. And in verse number 8 of chapter 19, it says, I have the Amplified Bible, it says, so then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord, the half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. So evidently he was impacted by his encounter with Jesus. If an individual is impacted by your encounter with Jesus, some things will change. Your life will change. So evidently, this lets me know that Zacchaeus was a slickster. Zacchaeus was a robber. Because he said, now I'm giving these things back. I'm giving them back. I'm giving back four times what I stole, what I cheated. Right? So he had a change from the inside. All right? Then verse number 9, and Jesus said to him, today is messianic and spiritual salvation come to all the members of this household, since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. So salvation came to his house because of his change in his heart. Amen. Salvation can come to your house if you have a change of heart. You have a change of heart, you repent, you come clean with God, it's a possibility that your whole house can receive salvation. All it takes is one to get things started. So this is kind of the backdrop of what's going on. And then Jesus says, because he's a real spiritual son of Abraham, and Jesus pinpoints and focuses his mission here. He says in verse number 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, this is why I came. This is why I'm here. Yes, I'm having encounters with different people. I'm having encounters with Zacchaeus here at this present time, but I want you to understand the real reason that I came. I didn't come for pomp and circumstance. I didn't come to win the most popular contest, but I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So this is why this is Jesus declaring why he came. And I'm so glad that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, because that was the condition that we were born in. We were born in a lost condition. But I'm so glad before we were born in our lost condition, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So now he continues in verse number 12. I'm going to jump to verse number 12. Here's what it says in verse 12. He therefore said, a certain nobleman. So now Jesus is going to bring a parable. He says, a certain nobleman went into a distant country to obtain for himself a kingdom. And then to return. Verse 13, calling 10 of his own bondservants, he gave them 10 minas, each equal to about 100 days' wages, or nearly $20, and said to them, buy and sell with these while I go and then return. Now, I think one version he talked, it says, occupy till I come. All right. Now, interesting point that I think needs to be lifted up here. He gave the same thing to each of the servants. The same thing to each of the servants, right? And he told them to occupy. Now, interestingly enough, in verse number 14, it says, but his citizens detested him and sent an embassy after him to say, we do not want this man to become ruler over us. Hold that in your mind. Hold these two things, that he gave the same thing to everybody, and then his citizens didn't want to be ruled by him. All right? So, verse number 15, when he returned after having received the kingdom, he ordered these bond servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much each one had made by buying and selling. All right, so we are familiar with one made 10, one made 5, and one hid the money. All right? I want to take a look at this because remember, he gave each of them the same amount. He gave each of them the exact same thing. So what is brought to my mind, especially when we consider verse 14, his citizens detested him. This is what comes to my mind. He's talking about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because they were given the same thing, the same gospel that has been preached from the time that Peter preached is the same message that Jesus brought down from heaven. But there are a bunch of people back then, and there's a bunch of people right now who detest the gospel message. They detest the gospel message because it's the message of Jesus Christ. And the world has always had a problem with Jesus. Has always had a problem with Jesus. Now, this brings our mind to the gospel, to the parable that he talked about, the sower and the seed. Right? The sower and the seed, where some fell among thorns, and some of the seed, which is the word, fell among the side of the road, and the birds devoured it up, and some was choked up by the cares of life. What does this have to do with becoming an overcomer? Good question. Let's go further. Each of them received the same thing. When we receive the gospel message, and when we obey the gospel message, then it is incumbent upon us to do something with the message that we receive. Now notice, this is not talent that they received. The other parable talks about talent. But here he says he gave them equal. He gave each of them equal. So when we receive the gospel message, when we receive salvation, when we receive forgiveness of our sins, when God sends us faith and repentance and we repent of our sins and we get baptized in Jesus' name and we get filled with the Holy Ghost, right? We receive the gospel message, and then we're supposed to be producing something. We're supposed to be producing something. Now, some will go to work and produce 10. Some will go to work and produce 5. And some will hide. So one overcomer produced 10. Another overcomer increased and produced 5. And then there was that one who knowing his Lord decided to hide and bury what was given to him. How many of us are hiding what God has given to us? How many people are hiding the gospel message? How many people are doing kingdom work? How many people are working to win souls? How many people are working to influence the lives of others or to impact the lives of others that they might choose Christ? We've been given the same message. We've been given this glorious gospel. Scripture says in one place that if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, right? But now we hear Jesus declaring that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings. Guess what? Jesus was not the only one anointed to preach good tidings. So were we. This is the mindset of an overcomer. The mindset of an overcomer is I have to do the works of him that sent us. For night's coming when no man can work. The mindset of an overcomer is I got to win people to Jesus. The mindset of an overcomer is I got to spread the message of God's love. I got to save. I got to spread the message that Jesus saves. I got to spread the message that there is a way out of every dilemma. That's the mindset of an overcomer. And the more we live this and the more we make this a part of our existence, the more we make this a vital, a part of our essence of who we are, we will not be able to help but draw people to Christ. If we really have this mindset of an overcomer. So we understand from reading that the first one came before him and said, Lord, your mina has made 10 additional minas. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we can get 10 people to come to God? Is that a good goal to set? Yeah, well, let's set it then. Amen. In 2017, all right, here, we're not going to give you 10. But in 2017, just get one. If we live and the Lord will. In 2017, just win one soul to Christ. Just one. One soul. We're going to be launching a campaign. I might as well tell you now since you're here on Sunday. We're going to be launching a one-on-one campaign. Amen. One-on-one campaign. We're going to kick it off in January. One-on-one campaign. Yeah, y'all know how they have the basketball one-on-one? But we're going to be one-on-one for Jesus. Amen. But we're going to end it around March, right along with March Madness for all you basketball fans and college fans. But let's try to win one soul. Win one soul. Just one. Tell somebody what God has done for you. Tell somebody how God delivered you. And then live what you say. Live it out. Walk it out. Because they see you. They see you. So, there is a reward to overcomers. Because the one who won 10, who gained 10, in verse 17, here's what the Lord said. And he said to him, well done, excellent bondservant. Well, oh, wait a minute. Now, let's look for a minute. He's a bondservant. So that means he don't have a choice. He's obligated to make an increase to what his master gave him, right? Are we not the bond servants of Christ? Are we not obligated to make an increase of what God has given us? Okay, that's not as strong as I would like, but that's all right. It's true anyway. And he said to him, well done, excellent bondservant, because you have been faithful and trustworthy in a very little thing, you shall have authority over 10 cities. What is going to be, imagine what the award ceremony will be like in heaven. Huh? Imagine what the award ceremony, if you will be like in heaven. Don't you want to see somebody in heaven that you had a part in to win to the Lord? Yes, I do. So we understand how the second came, and he said, Lord, your minute has five more minutes. And he said to him also, and you will take charge over five cities. What are we going to take charge over? Then another came and said, Lord, here is your mina. Here's what you gave me, which I kept laid up in a handkerchief. See that? Verse 20. For I was constantly afraid. God doesn't want us afraid. I was constantly afraid of you because you are a stern, hard, severe man. You pick up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to the servant, I will judge and condemn you out of your own mouth. You see that? You wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a stern, hard, severe man, picking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Then, why did you not put my money in a bank? So that on my return, I might have collected it with interest. He said, you should have done something with what I gave you. We should have done something with what I gave you. You knew me, or you claimed that you knew me. You knew how I was, and so your own mouth. Be careful what you say. Your own mouth sometimes will write your own ticket. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Verse 24, and he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to him who has the 10 minas. You see that? And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas already. He already got 10. And Jesus said, I tell you that everyone who gets and has, I'm sorry, let me read that again. And said Jesus, I tell you, that to everyone who gets and has will more be given. So get to work, basically. But from the man who does not get and does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Because remember, in the beginning, he got what everybody else got. When we receive God's word, when we receive instruction from God's word, it is important that the word falls on good ground in our heart and we bring forth fruit unto God. Some will bring forth fruit 30-fold. Some will bring forth fruit 60-fold. Some will bring forth fruit 100-fold. But we ought to be producing something. We ought to be producing something. And as we produce, then I think we fall into the mode of an overcomer. We fall into a mode of an overcomer. So it is important that we take this gospel message out to the masses. We all have a circle of influence outside of the church. We don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a vacuum. But as much things that are being talked about in our atmosphere and in our environments, God needs to be lifted up. He needs to be lifted up. We cannot be afraid to let people know why we live and how we live. We cannot be afraid to mention that God is our all in all, that God is our everything. The reason you see me not falling apart when other folks are falling apart is because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The reason why I can go through these adversities or these situations is because I have somebody that's with me. I have somebody who has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. The reason why I'm not cracking up, the reason why I'm not sitting in the corner and I'm going like that is because I put my trust and my confidence in Jesus. The reason why I'm not throwing in the towel, I'm not looking for a towel, is because I have a friend in Jesus. The reason why I'm not going crazy and I'm not walking around in a rubber room is because I have a friend in Jesus. Not only do I have a friend in Jesus, I have a counselor, and he gives me good therapy. All I have to do is open up the Word of God, and God has a solution to everything that I'm going through. I don't have to worry about who's in power in what house or in whether it's national or international. I know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is always in control. And I know that I hear the Bible said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. So I don't have to worry about what man can do to me. I don't have to worry about who gets in power or who think they got power or who think they got some sway or whatever, because I'm trusting in Jesus. My confidence is in Him. I don't even trust in myself. You hear what I said? I don't even trust in myself, because I understand what the Bible lets me know, that in this flesh is no good thing, and that this flesh is at enmity. My flesh is at war. My flesh and your flesh is at war with the Spirit of God. My flesh will never line up on its own with the will of God or with the Word of God. So in order for me to be an overcomer, I got to think like an overcomer. I got to think like the original overcomer, who is Jesus the Christ. I hear the Bible declare, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Listen, so we have to take on the same mindset that Jesus, who being in the form of God, the Bible says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. See, an overcomer is humble. An overcomer don't have the big head. An overcomer will prefer somebody else above them. An overcomer will do the things that God is calling for them to do. An overcomer will have a mind like Christ, an attitude like Christ. An overcomer is filled with love. An overcomer is filled with compassion. An overcomer is filled with mercy. An overcomer will love. An overcomer will go out of his own way to make somebody else look good. An overcomer will do things that will give God glory, that will give God praise. An overcomer is not selfish. An overcomer is not jealous. An overcomer is not covetousness. An overcomer is not a liar or a cheat or a thief. An overcomer has made up in their mind that they're dead to sin and that they are alive unto God. That's the mindset of an overcomer. So if enough of us operate on a consistent basis with that type of a mindset, we can change our whole environment. We can turn this city upside down. We can speak truth to those who think they are in power. We can have the same authority and the same courage that our dear brother Stephen had when they were stoning him. Talk about an overcomer. That was a real overcomer. In the midst of him transitioning from this side to eternity, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus, and he said and he prayed for those who was doing him in. That's what an overcomer will do. An overcomer will pray for those that will despitefully use them. An overcomer will love, because I hear the Bible said in one place that love covers a multitude of sin. God, help us today to live like an overcomer. Help us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. That means that we have to expose ourselves to the very same things that Jesus exposed himself to. I hear Paul said in one place that they were exposed. They were liable to die at any time. So, and this is the mindset that we have to have as overcomers, that our life, first of all, is not really ours. Jesus paid for us. He owns us, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything about us, Jesus bought it, and he paid for it with his precious blood. So we are not our own. That's why we have to glorify like God in our bodies, because our bodies don't belong to us. We've been bought with a price. So that's the overcomer's mindset. I can't live to my own desires. An overcomer is not lustful. An overcomer is not a hater, but an overcomer loves God. An overcomer loves peace. An overcomer seeks mercy. And this is what God has called us to do. And guess what? He's given us the very power that we need to live like an overcomer every day of our lives. When God filled us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, he gave us all things, not some things, not a few things. He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So I hear the Bible reminding us that are overcomers. Oh yes, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can let them talk about me. I can let them put all kind of stuff about me that's wrong, and I can stand still and take it. I ain't got to defend myself, and neither do you. An overcomer has a defender, and our defender is God himself. I hear God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I don't have time, and we don't have time or the energy or the brain power to try to get our enemies in line. When God gets ready to deal with his enemies, and guess what? God's enemies are our enemies. So when God gets ready to deal with his enemies, he knows exactly how to deal with them. So what I have to worry myself with, what we have to busy ourselves with, is doing the work of God. Live like an overcomer. Don't let situations, don't let circumstances move you off the path of living like an overcomer. But anything that God allows to come to you or presents itself to you, don't panic. Don't fret. Don't get anxious. Listen, I know in whom I have believed. We got to know in whom we have believed, and we have to be persuaded that he is able to present, to keep that which we have committed unto him until that day. What did you commit unto him? We committed our souls. We committed our life. We committed everything that we are to Jesus Christ. And we are persuaded that God can keep us now unto him. He's able to keep you from falling. Yes, he's able. That's the mindset that I have to have as an overcomer. I got to have in my mind what God encourages me and instructs me in his word. Thanks be unto God, who always, not sometimes, not every now and then, but thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph. God always gives us the victory. That's the mindset of an overcomer. We cannot away with, I don't know if I can make it through this one, away with that thought. That thought came from the very pit of hell. When those thoughts come that you ain't gonna make it, that this one is too hard, you gotta look that thought in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. Listen, God is too good. He's too kind. He's too much God to let us down like that. He has never and he will never let us down. God needs somebody to brag on him. God needs somebody to lift up his name. That's what an overcomer will do. An overcomer will take the spotlight off of themselves and their situation and shine the light on their glorious God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the mindset and the speech and the attitude of an overcomer. For God I live, and for God I'll die. I don't care what comes or what goes. If I lose everything that I got materially, God is still God, and God is still worthy to be praised. An overcomer is a praiser. Check your praise thermometer. Check your praise indicator. Is it green? Is it red? Or do we got to put out an amber alert for your praise? When the last time you just gave God a praise just for no good reason at all, just the fact that he's God? God, if you don't do nothing else, wait 1 minute. You done enough. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. I was wretched and undone, shown up on my way to hell. And you let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what he gave to everybody. This message of Jesus has went out through all the world. And God, for some reason, here's the reason, because he loved me, because he loved you. He sent repentance when he sent the message, and sent faith and allowed dirty, low down me to get a moment of clear thinking and sanity. And I heard that Jesus paid it all. I heard that there was a way for me to escape the very wrath of God. I heard that Jesus loved me before I knew who I was. And when I heard about the salvation of God and how glory to God, it's free, because I ain't had no money. I ain't had two coins to rub together. I had to bum bus fare one time way back when I got here in the mid-80s. But I'm so glad that salvation is free. And glory, hallelujah, is free, and it always will be free, because Jesus went to the cross and paid. That was the original overcomer. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame the grave. Glory, hallelujah. So since he overcame that, and we're in him, there's nothing, we got to understand this, there's nothing that can harm us or hold us down in a real sense, because I hear God say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, glory, he is a new creation. Look at that. God recreated me when I was 25 years old. I didn't have the Nicodemus question, how can a man be born when he's old? But God did it, because his word is just that powerful. At 25 years old, a rusty, dusty, crusty 25, God made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And whatever age you give your life to God, whatever age you get baptized with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you become a new creation. You get the overcomer on the inside. I got some power. I didn't have it. Oh, yes, I thought I was a shot caller in my early days, but I was just a shot, and that was it. Could have been shot, but glory to God. When we received the Holy Ghost, then you got some power. You got some power then. You got power. Woo, glory. You got power to overcome man on the corner selling them blunts. Glory. You can walk by man and say, nah, I'm good. Glory. And get your step on. Woo, glory. 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 You can walk into the bar. Yes, you can. You can walk into the bar and go straight to the restroom and come on out. Glory. Hallelujah. They're playing your song, but it ain't your song no more. It used to be my song, but glory, I feel like preaching today. I got a song that the angels can't sing. Woo, glory, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Angels can't sing that. Glory, hallelujah, glory. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I got too much going for me. and it's not because of me. It's all because of Jesus. Woo! Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. The image, glory to God, of the invisible God. God manifested in flesh. Glory! We can't lose. You hear what I said? We can't lose. We got Jesus. We got Jesus. We got Jesus. We got Jesus. Everything about us is overcoming. Woo, glory. Everything about us. God is getting us ready. He's getting us ready to get us up out of here. We're going to leave this flesh, this worrisome flesh, this sinful flesh, this flesh that gets on your and my last nerve sometimes. We're going to leave it behind. And we're going to a place. Glory to God. I'm looking to go, y'all. I want to stay as long as God allows me. But the real deal, come Lord Jesus. Woo, because it's going to be worth it all. I've been misunderstood, and so have you. Don't feel bad. That's a part of the lot of an overcomer. And sometimes, just keep it real, sometimes our own brothers and sisters misunderstand us. That's all right. But we see through a glass darkly right now. That's okay. You may misunderstand me. I may misunderstand you, but let's not mistreat one another. There's a difference. We ain't going to agree on everything, but one thing we can agree on. Woo, glory. The Lord himself, the overcomer, is coming back. Glory, hallelujah. And this overcomer, oh God, he got a record that's in heaven's hall of fame. He's never been defeated. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! He didn't have to go to overtime or double overtime or instant replay. Jesus has never been defeated. That's the one who's coming back for us. And I hear, he said in Revelation to him, ooh, glory, him who overcomes. Glory, ooh, that's some incentive there. That's some incentive for me to keep on going. To him who overcomes, to him, ooh, he makes it an individual thing. Save yourself, Bible says, from this untoward generation. What do you mean? They're untoward God. They ain't thinking about God. But to him, glory, that overcomes. He said, I'm going to grant something to you. Ooh, you hang in there. Wait a minute. No hang. Stay. Stay in there. Sometimes that hang means, no. You stand. Well, the Bible said, having to done all, stand. You ain't got to hang on nothing. You stand. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost to let you hang. He gave you the Holy Ghost to let you stand. So stand. Having done, oh, now make sure you do all. He said, having done all to stand. Now, if you have stepping, you ain't done all. But when you know that you've done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. You ain't got to cower down to the devil. You ain't got to be afraid to go to your old neighborhood. If you've been delivered, you can walk past any dope house. Ooh, glory. Yes, you can. I know where the spots are. Yeah, trust me. I know what you're tempted to. Right there on 6th and Main. How you know? Because I was there. I know the spots. I know. But when you get delivered and you become an overcomer, You can hang right there on the corner. Watch everything going on and tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, you want to get high? Oh, I got something. Huh? I got something you can get high on. Huh? You get a taste of this. You get a touch of this. It's the Holy Ghost. Woo! It ain't no buzzkill neither. Glory. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they thought on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell, folks was drunk. They were drunk. But Peter said, no. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, because it's only the third hour of the day. See, back then, folks did drink a little later in the day, but now, all bets are off. Yeah. But he said, these men are not drunk, as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. See, God prophesied that the overcomer was going to fill souls with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? Guess what? God is so powerful that if somebody here wants the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right now. We got Bible. 10th chapter of Acts. Peter, with his prejudiced self, went over and preached. He said, I understand now because God had to show me a vision. Sometimes God got to get your mind right and show you that it's more than just save mine and these and us three. No. Remember he said the Son of Man came to save, seek and to save them that was lost. That's all mankind. But Peter had to get his mind right. And see, I love how God just puts things in there. Because let's keep it real. Sometimes we're prejudiced. Peter was saved. Got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but still had some prejudicial issues in his life. So can we, being saved, be prejudiced too? Yes, we can. But God fixed that. He blew Peter's mind. Peter didn't even get a chance to do an altar call. Because while Peter, the scripture says, while Peter was yet speaking, while he was telling them about Jesus Christ, while he was telling them, while he was sharing what he received, remember the minutes? They all received the same thing. They received the word. So the same word that the Jews received, now he goes to the Gentiles. And he preaches the same gospel. And the Bible says that while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. Glory, hallelujah, on the Gentiles. So listen, all we got to do is lift up Jesus. And if somebody here wants the Holy Ghost, while we're yet speaking, the Holy Ghost can fall. You just got to receive it. You ain't got to work for the Holy Ghost. How you going to work for something that God gives? Just receive it. But while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. And then Peter said, uh-oh, look what God done did. He didn't say it like that, but that's what I'm saying. He said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized like we were? Because God filled them with the Holy Ghost. These Gentiles, the people who I didn't like. No mess with God. God mess around, fill your enemy with the Holy Ghost. And have him witness or her witness to you. That same one in your dorm room, on your floor, that you don't even like to sit next to in the cafeteria because they think they're all that. No, that's all in your head. But God can fill that person with the Holy Ghost. What you gonna do then? Uh-oh, I better get serious. This time to get serious is now. You want to be an overcomer. God wants you to be an overcomer. I was going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but I don't have time. But maybe next time. Because the fact that we receive the word and we allow the word to work in our lives and bring forth fruit unto God, that puts us on the path of being an overcomer. But then when you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you see some things that attack the overcomer. So the overcomer needs some encouragement. So at your leisure, read that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. it will give you some encouragement. So I won't have to preach it. All right, will y'all do that? Or y'all want me to preach it? Read it. Overcomers read. Huh? Overcomers got to get in the word. You can't rely on just me. Come on, say amen. You can't rely on just somebody reading. Get in your word. Check me out. Get in the word. Get in your word. What did he say? 2 Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't read it now. Read when you get home. Pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm almost through. But God wants us to be overcomers. And he has given us the power, the ability, the authority, and the responsibilities to be overcomers. So what we gonna do with it? I think this is turning into a series, The Overcomer. All right? Well, God bless you. Anybody want to be saved? I know we got two babies going to get baptized today. I know that. We praise God for that. But anybody want to get saved?